Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the 14th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 25. If you remember from last week, Jesus was having a meal at the house of a Pharisee, but this morning he's on the road. You can hear that song, On the Road Again, in your background. But large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, and he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Would he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build but was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. In this passage, context is everything. As I said, from here the setting shifts outdoors. Remember, we were at a banquet last week, and Jesus was talking about etiquette and humbling oneself so that God might see that you're glorified. But Jesus is now on the road. He's got a large crowd of followers now. And more than this, there's a shift of topic. If many are thronging to Jesus, coming along on his journey and following, the focus then has to turn to discipleship. And Jesus is saying in this passage, count the cost. Bearing a cross is not something for a halfway commitment. Now, the change in tone and location in this latter part of Luke 14 is striking. But then we recall that Jesus is not traveling any old journey. He's going to Jerusalem. He's been heading toward the cross since Luke chapter 9. Perhaps this is why the time is ripe to help people in the thronging crowd stop and take an assessment. Do I really want to follow him? Am I ready to take up my cross and follow him? No doubt among the masses were some new converts, others who were contemplating the possibility of becoming a disciple. And in that context, Jesus addressed the multitude in no uncertain terms about just exactly what it means to be one of his disciples. He emphasized the difficulty, making three strong cannot statements. If anyone comes to me, Jesus said, and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and child, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. He used the word hate. And these are strong words, aren't they? But he wanted to shock the people who were with him so they'd know that they're making a vital decision here. Does he mean for us to hate our father, mother, wife, children, etc.? No. But we're willing to give ourselves and all that we hold dear. Then, as a second thing, he says, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. I talked with the children a little bit about what bearing one's cross is about. That cross can become heavy at times. We don't even live in a country where there's outright persecution of Christians, but that day may come. Week before last, you heard Ed talking about the day when persecution could be a reality. The persecution of Christians and the Christian church could be a reality in this nation. I'm reminded that the church has been dwindling in numbers, dwindling in influence in our society for a long time. A lot of people have fallen away. And isn't that what Jesus was trying to work out with the words that he said about, hating father, mother, brother? In other words, counting the cost. A lot of people have counted the cost of being a Christian in this day and time in our United States, and they're finding that cost a little too high, and they're walking away. You say, they have a lot of different reasons. Yeah, they do have a lot of different reasons. But the fact is, they don't want to cling to the cross. They don't want to bear what the cross is requiring of them. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. So rightfully, there are a lot of people falling away. But just as the cross being a symbol of suffering and death and shame is also a symbol of victory and salvation, so also in our lives, the cross that we bear, being fewer church members, having to bear a lot more of the weight and work of the church and the financial needs of the church, let's be completely clear about it. It's a burden. Well, what's the other side of the coin? The other side of the coin is Almighty God loves us, watches over us, and cares for us. And there's a principle in the Bible that applies here. The church is dwindling in size and in influence. And there may come a day when people will say, is the church gone? Is the church finished? Is it dead? And another might say, no. Jesus said, my church will survive against the gates of hell even. And the principle that God always follows is that God saves a remnant. God saves a remnant. Think about the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah was depressed because he thought all of the followers of his disciples and all of the prophets of God were gone, and he was the last one, and Jezebel wanted to kill him. And God said, "Hey, you're not alone. I've got a remnant here that I'm saved. I've set them aside as those who continue in the faith." So when you start feeling down about the cross you got to bear as being a member of a dwindling church, remember that the other side of that is that you are one of those who God has set aside for a time yet to be shown, when there will be rebirth and renewal. Okay, the third thing Jesus says, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. This rings true in other comments that Jesus has made. Remember what he told the young man who said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, follow the law and the prophets. He said, "I've done these since I was a child." And then Jesus said, "Go sell all you have and give the proceeds to the poor, and then come follow me." Demanding conditions, the young man hung his head and walked away. We've got to carry a cross like a condemned criminal. We have to expect to give up everything we work hard to have. And then Jesus says, then you can call yourself a member of my fellowship. Discipleship is demanding. That's the bottom line. When Apostle Paul interpreted Jesus' idea of cross-bearing, he saw it as an act of self-sacrifice, a way of offering oneself as a living sacrifice to God, a true act of worship, and the only way to claim the victory of Jesus Christ over sin and death. To take up one's cross and follow Jesus is to give one's life a living sacrifice to God. This morning at Sunday school, Jim outlined the travels of Paul after he left Jerusalem and made his way as a prisoner all the way up to Rome. Went going through shipwreck, snake bite, and all kinds of different suffering. Yet he clung to the faith. And he wrote in Romans 8 that it's an honor to share the suffering of Christ. It's an honor to be a cross bearer. We are the ones who give ourselves a living sacrifice to God. We are those who have lost our lives in Christ only to find them again in Christ. Paul explains that change in us is a transformation of mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus, Paul says. We are a people in whom love is sincere. We hate evil. We cling to good. We are devoted to sisters and brothers in Christ, honoring each other above ourselves and building up one another in the faith. When I talked to the young people just a few minutes ago, I wasn't kidding. We commit ourselves by accepting them as members of the church to help to build them up in faith as their lives go on, to be joyful, patient, faithful, and generous with those people, kind, even to our enemies, and genuinely concerned for the lost and downtrodden. Cross-bearing is not easy. I like this little story from Bob Hodges. He's a Presbyterian minister down in Rogersville, Tennessee. He tells about duck hunting with his friend on the Cherokee Lake in East Tennessee. His friend Riley, who had just recently given his life to Christ, began to ask some serious questions about what it means to be a Christian. Riley's old friends were making it hard for him to remain consistent in his obedience and commitment to Christ. They seemed to delight in trying to get him to fall back into the old patterns of his life. They ridiculed him for spending so much time with a preacher. And Riley asked, "Why is it that I'm having more trouble since I became a Christian than I ever did when I was lost? Everything seems to go wrong. I'm having such a struggle." Have you ever had that feeling? I have. Bob Hodges spoke up. He said, "I'll tell you, Riley. Let's say a couple ducks fly over and you shoot. You kill one and you injure the other. They both fall into the lake. What are you going to do? You have to get out of the boat and go pick up those ducks. But which one do you go after first?" "Well," Riley drawled, "that's easy. I'll go after the injured one first. The dead one ain't going anywhere." And Hodges says that's the way it is with the devil. He goes after the injured Christians, the fledglings, the young ones, the ones who are a little weak. He's not going to bother with a man dead in his sin. But the minute you give your life to Christ, you better get ready. The devil is going to come after you. He's going to chase you. He's going to make it hard for you. The question is, what can we give in exchange for such a great love as his? What will we give? 2,000 years or so after he lived on earth, there's still something exciting and magnetic about Jesus of Nazareth, something that draws people to him. It must be the power of God behind his word and the authority with which he calls us to serve him even now. Following Jesus is not an easy thing, but his word is still the best news this world has ever heard, for bad times and for good. That is what you and I are called to remember together. Discipleship is a demanding thing. Discipleship is a delightful thing. Discipleship is a determined thing. God calls us at this time in history to be his remnant, to be the faithful few who carry on the faith and pass it on to young people, who keep the church doors open, who bless the community with acts of mercy and of service. That is what Christ is calling for from his people today. Take up your cross and follow me, he said. And to him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, cross bearing means so much to us. We all bear a cross of one time or kind of another or another. And there may be heavier crosses in our future or lighter. But in either case, keep us faithful. Make us stalwart followers of Jesus Christ, lifting one another up in love and care. Make us disciples and turn us into apostles, as you did for those early 12. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.